Good evening. I'd like to call tonight's Monroe City Council meeting to order. This is a regular business meeting for Tuesday, February 18th, 2014. Could you roll call, please? Thank you.
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Gehring.
Thank you. And I received word that Councilmember Cutaback is out ill tonight and that Councilmember Gamble is going to be a little bit late. Okay. All right. Will everybody please stand? And Councilmember Davis, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilmember Davis. Let the record reflect that Councilmember Hanford is now here. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is announcements. And we have Chief Quinzer for the 2013 Police Department Awards.
Well, this evening I'm going to have Deputy Chief Bernard read them off because I'm afraid if I speak too much, I'll probably lose my voice. Some of you may enjoy that, but I'd rather be able to speak later on this evening. So.
Okay, with that, Mr. Mayor and council members, guests, families, and friends, thank you. I appreciate you being here this evening for the awards ceremony for the police department. If I could have officers Nathan Erdman and Scott Cornish please come up. Officer Erdman and Cornish are members of a three-member PROAC team led by Sergeant Ryan Irving. The purpose of this team is to proactively enforce criminal behavior reoccurring within the city of Monroe and throughout East Snohomish County. Instead of responding to 911 calls, the team builds strategies to go after prolific criminals. In 2013, the PROAC team wrote over 45 search warrants. Their continued efforts and dedication to the PROAC enforcement on prolific criminals yielded numerous felony arrests. One case example was the service of two search warrants at the same location, which resulted in the seizure of 158 grams of methamphetamine, two firearms, and $5,760 in cash. Another example was a search warrant at a residence in the city of Monroe, which resulted in the seizure of nine firearms in the possession of a felon, one of which was stolen in a burglary. These are just two examples of their persistence and successful investigative skills. They have done and continue to do an excellent job in proactive patrol responding to the needs of the citizens of Monroe. With that, Chief Quinzer will present their Distinguished Service Awards. The next award will be presented to Sergeant Rick Dunn, and he's being recognized tonight for a true act of heroism that occurred on June 24th, 2013. Rather than me telling you the story, we have a video that tells Sergeant Dunn's story in his own words.
I'll come out. It wasn't dispatched to me initially, but it was dispatched to one of the other officers, the day shift officers that were working. And it was about a woman that had called in. She was a roommate of this male. And she hadn't heard from him in a while that day and was concerned about him. When she did talk to him or received a text from him, I can't remember which, he was despondent. he'd been going through some stuff, and she said she was concerned about his safety and that he might try to hurt himself. And I asked, do you know where he might go? Where are the kind of places he goes? And she said, I don't really know. I do know that he's been getting his aftercare for his surgery to his foot and ankle at Valley General Hospital. So her best guess was he might be somewhere around there. It wasn't anything definitive. So I hung up with her and said, I'm going to go check that area. I'll let you know if I find something. So I headed over there. When I pulled onto 179th from SR2, I immediately saw this man who fit the description. She'd given the description. He's 6'1", about 350 pounds, sitting on a piece of railroad timber or a support thing for railroad timber on the ground on the tracks. And so I started talking to him. I kind of kept my distance, and that's what I kind of thought to do in those kind of circumstances. But I talked to him and said, I know something's going on. I know that something's bothering you. I just want to help you. Come towards me and talk to me. About that time, I heard the crossing arm signals go, and there was a crossing signal right there, just feet from us. I didn't really have a plan, or I didn't really have time to really think that out, but I could see that the train was coming towards us and stuff. So the last time I remember looking up at the train, it was about maybe 40 yards away. So I just, just kind of used my body and threw myself at his upper body, knowing that I could maybe get us. I knew we had to clear the railroad tracks. So I just kind of hit him, and again, it wasn't graceful or anything. He just fell and stumbled down over these big railroad ballast rocks that are on the side of that. You know, the train, before we even stopped rolling, that part of the train was going by. I mean, I heard the whistle, and it was right on top of us, so.
Harris Coast Fair, 12-7-13.
52 on scene. It looks like a train is coming right now, if you can advise BFM.
Copy. 12-7-13, 1-2-3.
They don't come much closer than that. That train was right on top of us, that I heard. Rick, if you could come up, please. For this act of heroism, Sergeant Dunn is awarded one of our highest honors, the Medal of Courage, presented by Chief Quinzer.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to talk about some people that were behind the scenes on this thing, and I spoke about this before, so if you bear with me, I don't think council served, I think it's important to talk about. So, for the sake of this, I'll call the gentleman Ben. He's somebody from our community. I've had contact with him since that happened, and he's fine. He spent some time in Fairfax, and he still is in the community. He's doing a lot better. But some things happened that nobody got any credit for, and that really made a difference in my ability to be where I was at the time I was there, and to help on that day. He had a roommate, her name was Michelle Moore, and she was the one that called, that I talked about in the video, and only knew they were just a platonic relationship, they were roommates. They hadn't really even known me for a long while, but could sense something in what he was saying in his text and in the phone conversations with him that made her call 911. There was also a woman named Roberta Stanley who saw a Facebook post that this Ben posted right before, as he's talking with others about what he wants to do and why he wants to do it. And she called dispatch, she got routed through, eventually left the other dispatch center. so she was instrumental in that. And there's also a motorist named, all I know, so name is Jody, who saw the mail on the tracks, recognized that he was despondent and something was wrong, and she called it. And then lastly, the snowpack dispatchers, who don't get a lot of credit for what they do every day, started pinging his phone right away. And as it turned out, I didn't know this at the time, but as it turns out, they were pinging his phone in the exact location I was at with him about the same time I was wrestling with him going off the tracks with him. So that was a good, it's an awesome job by the snowpack personnel too. So I just wanted to recognize those people. I think all of those things kind of came together and made it all happen. And, very honored, especially honored for the award tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief, and thank you, officers, for all the work you do for our community. Let me let the record show that Councilmember Gamble is now here. We're now moving on to comments from citizens. This is the time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the council on any issue related to the city of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Is there anybody that, has anybody signed in? Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come up and address the council?
House here.
Yeah. Okay. Seeing nobody wanting to come forward, we're going to go ahead and move on to student representative report.
Welcome back.
So I don't have a lot to say today, but we did last week at the high school on Wednesday. We had a speaker, Houston Kraft, come in, and he gave an assembly to the whole school, and with like the message of love and like unity, and like just like making sure like the little things that you say, like just, like being aware of the impact that they can have on people. And so we turned like that whole week into like, we are 1 week and with the focus on unity and love, and because it was Valentine's Day on Friday. And so with that, Houston gave a leadership workshop to the ASB class, and then after school, he held a workshop for about 60 kids who were interested in learning more about like leadership and his message. And then that night, I know it was mentioned a couple times, but we had a fair, and we also had a dinner. And with the goal of raising awareness for our Free the Children campaign. And we didn't raise as much money as we'd hoped, but we did like spread a lot of awareness, and I think it's a lot more known in the community about like what we plan on doing. And like we cleared up a few rumors, or not rumors, but like miscommunication kind of things. And so that was really successful. And also wanted to update you guys on sports teams, because there's not a lot going on, else going on in ASP. But so our boys basketball team and girls basketball teams, they made it to the playoffs. And our boys unfortunately lost both their games, so they're out. But our girls team is actually playing right now at Jackson because they continued on. So we're hoping that they win tonight and make it even farther. I don't know how the game's going, but I'll find out. And then also we have a couple wrestlers that made it to the regional competition, which is, I think, this weekend. So there were two that qualified and then two alternates as well. And that's all I have for you guys tonight. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any questions? Okay, seeing none. We'll go ahead and move on to our consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Okay. Second. Councilmember Rasmussen with a first and Hanford with a second. Any discussion? I do see that Councilmember Hanford has his light pushed, probably to make the first.
Yep. All right.
Okay. Any discussion on consent? Seeing none, all in favor of the consent agenda say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. New business. The first item of new business we have is AB 14030. This is approval of ordinance number 002-2014. It's amending MMC 804-055, which is animal control regulations. This is the first reading. Chief.
You see before you the agenda bill. I think it describes the reasons why we're making the changes in the animal ordinance and
the case involved. Okay, do I have any questions from council? I see no questions from council. Council members, do you have anything on this? Council member Gehring?
Thank you, Mayor. I will move to accept this first reading. Ordinance number 002/2014, amending MMC 0804055, pertaining to animal control.
I will second.
Okay, I have a first and I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We'll now move on to the second new business item, which is AB 14031, Planning and Permitting Personnel Update. And I believe that this is Paul Pavelka from our Planning Department, or June Brazel. He's pointing at you and pointing at him.
I'll go ahead and do an introduction. And then, Paul, if you want to chime in, that'd be great. Council, we've actually talked about this prior on several occasions, but we wanted to bring you up to speed on where we're at currently with the planning and permitting position that we're proposing to fill. We've taken a step back in the last month or two to look at our financial future, and we've went through the process of doing a five-year forecast so we can better understand where we're at and where we're going to be in the next few years. And now that we're complete with that, we've been looking at the workload, and I know that when we started making changes in that particular department, it was important for council that we stay ahead of the curve. When development's coming in, we want to continue with the good customer service, and we believe we're in that position right now to where we've got consistency shown, the applications continue to come in, and we need to be able to process those to continue the customer service we talked about. Several weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, we took time to meet with master builders and some of the local developers in the area and a representative from Chicago Title and Everett just to kind of get their feedback, better understand what the development climate is here in Monroe. And each of those individuals said Monroe is where they want to be and where they want to build because of the personnel we have, the processes that we have, and the growth is here. They threw out several numbers of what they've kind of felt we would be looking at for residential units and that type of thing. We landed at about 500 or so in the next few years is what they were kind of kicking around. So since that time, we've seen developers come in, talk about parcels. In fact, later tonight, we're looking at amending our broker agreement because of that. So what they're saying appears to be coming true. While they were here, we also asked them what their feedback was in regards to having consultants on board or having full-time staff. And they overwhelmingly said that they would prefer full-time staff because of the response they get, the professionalism. They said consultants are good in a pinch and it's a good backup plan. But a lot of times the consultants don't know the city codes as well as staff do. So at any rate, that's where we're at this evening. We've kind of laid out what our game plan is, some of the items that we were proposing to hold off on to make way for funding this position, and council did approve funding at director level last year, but we're proposing something much less than that.
Paul, did you have anything to add?
Thank you, Mayor. I just might add a couple of comments. We've been really incredibly busy for months, and actually I had thought that 2014 would be maybe a little calmer and we'd have a chance to catch up, and 2014 has, I mean, the pace has, if anything, it has increased in the number of applications and the number of things we have going on. We have so many projects in hand, and what really affects us more than anything is the number of people that phone calls with questions, inquiries, that people come to the counter. Some of them are very simple and can be answered within a few minutes. Some of them take upwards of a few hours. And that's really where our biggest issue is right now in the last several months, of having to break away from whatever we're doing to address the day-to-day customer service. And the intent of this, the prime mission of this new person would be, first of all, dealing with that kind of customer service, which would free up some of the staff, including myself, to deal with the active projects that are in the pipeline that are getting, you know, the pipeline's getting pretty clogged right now. But that's that would be a tremendous boost for us to have a staff member that could very quickly go through the learning curve and begin to serve that customer with support, but would really help move things along for us.
Thank you, Paul.
Like, so the word is we're getting busier, not slower.
Right. And there was one other thing, too, that when we met with the Master Builders Association and the developers that are doing work here in town, we talked about the idea of also doing an on-call contract to take care of additional work that might be coming in beyond what the pipeline, the proverbial pipeline, can handle. You'll see before you there's a letter from the MBA that talks about the value of doing an on-call contract, and as was pointed out earlier, one of the downsides to that is that they don't have familiarity with our own regulations, but and also you have to manage the contract. But the upside to that is that you can then hire a company that can take care of those overages without bringing in new staff, the idea being that you consider bringing in new staff should there be momentum for continued work coming in. So you kind of reassess as the year goes on and maybe next year to see if other staff are necessary to process applications. Our code, as I understand it, does allow us to bring on an on-call planner or planning company to process those overages. And we have the ability to do direct billing. Which would mean that it does not impact our general fund, correct?
Correct. Direct reimbursement, essentially.
Direct reimbursement, okay. And so, again, looking at our general fund, which we got to look at a little bit last week, the nice thing about that is, again, it doesn't increase our expenditures. It just acts as a pass-through. For us to do that, we would end up doing an RFP, I'd imagine.
Correct.
And then we'd review applications through that RFP process, and if that's something that council would be interested in considering, it's something that we can certainly add. In the meantime, though, there's an interest in bringing an assistant or associate level planner in the near future, because as you can imagine, the hiring process takes some time to make certain that we're able to continue processing applications and responding to questions as people come to the front counter. So did I get everything okay?
I think so. I guess the only thing I would add is that a key part of this person, what that person would do, is we have a very high standard. We work hard to maintain a high standard of customer service in terms of listening to the applicants, working with them to solve their problems, completing the process, and that level of customer service is being compromised more and more the farther we get behind. So we're really looking for some basically instant help when they get here to help us get back to where we want to be.
Thank you. And I see that Councilmember Camp's got a...
I did. That's why I called you back, Paul, because this specifically was something you said. So you said the associate planner would be working with the public, essentially, and questions could range from a few minutes to a few hours. What kind of few-hour issue would they be discussing? That's what I couldn't picture. I can understand somebody coming up and saying, I need information about building a fence, your typical homeowner question. But how would they, I'm assuming this associate planner would have a lower level of expertise. Is that correct? I don't know what training they would require.
Mid-level? This person had 2, 3, 4 years experience.
So a multi-hour issue that they would be dealing with? Involving research, I just can't picture what that would involve at that level.
Well, they would take inquiries, answer phones,
uh-huh.
And I say some are very simple and can be answered by almost anyone, and others are very complicated.
Wouldn't they turn that over to a senior planner if it's something of that deep level?
As they learn the system more and more, they'd be able to handle probably 80-90% of the inquiries.
Right.
And with some support where needed. What we're hoping for is someone who's got some municipal experience and can very quickly get familiar with Monroe, the specifics of our Monroe code. That we probably lose, depending on the day, I'll say an average of 50-60% of our time to
The senior planner.
Customers.
How your department's structured. So you have a senior planner would be addressing these issues at the front desk on the telephone.
Right now, currently. Melissa is our senior planner who takes care of most of that.
Okay.
We also tap our other staff, our permitting staff, mm-hmm. and myself to deal with that. Part of the problem is that we each have different pieces of things, and it becomes difficult to continue working on the applications while we're also scrambling to answer all these applications, or inquiries, I should say.
So the primary focus of the associate planner is dealing with the public?
Yes.
Ranging from the fence, the homeowner question, all the way up to
all the way
whatever they're capable.
Whatever it might be. Okay. We get a lot of inquiries about, say, land and so forth, and how is it zoned, how is it entitled, mm-hmm. or a lot of specific questions about, well, can I do, how do I figure out the density of this property? You name it.
Okay.
Where can I build a carport? And enforcement. This person would deal with not only the customer service, but also have responsibilities for project review, for application review, to fill in the timing that he or she is not dealing with the public, and in code enforcement. We spend a lot of time on code enforcement.
Okay. Thank you. That clears up quite a bit, my understanding of that. This is probably directed at Gene. You mentioned the IPZ, saving some money. Since we're part of the regional aerospace IPZ as opposed to the, what was it, Adventure IPZ?
Correct. We started down the road of writing. In fact, we wrote an application, turned it in. We weren't accepted last year. Council probably remembers that. So we set money aside this year to replay that, but right now there's not a lot of energy behind that. In addition, we just recently met with Economic Alliance of Snohomish County, and they informed us that we were part of the regional IPZ for aerospace, which we weren't aware of in the past until that meeting.
So is there any advantage or disadvantage to being in one IPZ or over another, or one of a different focus, as opposed to one of a sports-oriented focus versus an aerospace focus?
Again, they have to be approved, and I'm not even sure where the aerospace one is in the mm-hmm. process, if it got approved or not. Point being is that the adventure side of it isn't going to be moving forward this year anyways.
Okay.
And so those monies we had set aside, we wouldn't be utilizing. And so now we can put our efforts towards the regional aerospace IPZ that's out there and do some research, find out what's happening with that group, where it's at in the process and the like.
So the regional one is more inclusive of, I assume, Bothell, Woodinville. Not because the adventure one was more valley-oriented, correct?
Correct. And the adventure one had to do with development of, let's say, you know, wakeboards here in Monroe.
Right.
And then the component of the Everett Community College linkage
mm-hmm.
for the development side, the student side. So at any rate, that's kind of what the theme was for the adventure that we applied for last year that was denied.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to pick up on where Councilmember Camp left off on that one. I'm really bummed that we wouldn't at least try again. That was very particular to Monroe. It's one of the things that makes Monroe unique, and especially with the educational tie-in. I think there was something that was very valuable there for us. I appreciate the fact that we're already part of an aerospace one that's more, as I see it, more of a county-wide thing. If we were I don't, essentially what I'm saying is that's $25,000 that I think, you know, even if we get denied, do we spend the $25,000? Or is that just the application, like, you know, time and staff money spent? What's the 25 grand for that IPZ?
It's my understanding that all the cities that were participating in the IPZ grouped their monies and went forward. We hired a consultant to write it, and that's what those monies were used for. But it's also my understanding, I haven't met with the group, but in talking with Jeff prior to him leaving, that crusade has kind of fallen off right now, whether it's lack of interest, lack of funding, but it wasn't going to be moving forward.
I appreciate that information. I would certainly love to, a separate topic than what we're talking about, but I do think that this is important. It was something that played into the direction we're going, economic development, the educational aspect, and having students involved in that, and people coming here, you know, to be involved with that. Hopefully we can consider that in the future moving forward. The parks position, and I apologize, I was ill last week, so I didn't get the five-year forecast. I believe it's coming back on March 4th as well, so I really appreciate that too. The position in parks, I'm trying to remember what would not be hired were we to not hire that person.
It was a parks maintenance worker position. We had somebody leave employment a couple of years ago, and we elected not to fill that position. And so we're still in that holding pattern.
Okay. So we had budgeted, so we had a $65,000 placeholder, which we had that last year too, but we just didn't spend it, right? So that's that same kind of a thing.
I don't believe it was in the year prior, but it's definitely in this year's.
Okay. And then we just unused funds.
Uh-huh. Unexpended.
Unexpended. Thank you. Consultant services. In the past, 2010, we did the interlocal agreement. That I didn't hear that when you guys were talking about the difference in doing consulting services versus an interlocal agreement. I'm going to assume that thought was given there to one versus the other. I thought that worked pretty well in the past. I don't know about cost differences, things like that. I know Kirkland got really busy.
Mm-hmm.
A consultant when we need it versus, you know, an interlocal with another city when we need it. Was there differences between those?
We looked at it, and I did have the conversation with staff, and you're correct. We did put that interlocal in place, but it wasn't heavily used. And the reason why, from my understanding, talk with staff, is that, yeah, Kirkland was busy, and we were only able to utilize it when our team went on vacation, and we had to backfill. And so we used it a couple times, but it just didn't work. It was a bit cumbersome because they have their schedule, and if it didn't mesh with ours, we were second priority versus they were first priority, right? And so there was the meshing that was a bit of a challenge, but it's definitely something that we would be open to looking at. And we're not sure. It's different services. What they provided before was inspections, and it was building inspections. So this is a bit different to where they'd be, you know, reviewing subdivisions, that type of thing. But certainly we did talk about it, and we're still open to all the ideas.
Okay. Just from a cost standpoint, I didn't know if there would be a difference between doing an interlocal with another city versus actual, like, you know, public, private sector consultants, which I would think might command a little bit higher. I'm just thinking about bottom line stuff and getting, you know, sure. Both are professionals, right? You know, anyway, just thinking along those lines.
Sure.
But if that's still in the mix, and a master builder certainly thought, at least whether it's on call or whatever that is, whether that's interlocal or not. Okay. And then the 5-year forecast, and I do apologize again for missing that. I think ultimately, and the concern that I shared off the bat with the beginning was actually, you know, when we actually have actuals with, you know, with Walmart sales tax data, I will certainly be a lot more comfortable with, you know, let's get all these people hired, right? You know, when we have actual data. Again, I look forward to seeing that on March 4th, and maybe even in the Finance Committee. So we certainly have a lot of work, and the frugal person in me thinks, well, let's do it as cheaply as possible. But customer service is certainly a compelling argument. We've worked very hard for customer service, and so I do appreciate that as well. It is something that, it's a reputation that we've repaired, and so I can see the value of having someone on. I guess what I get most nervous about is, okay, things don't turn out quite the way we want, and then it's, you know, these end up being the people that end up being cut when things have to be cut, you know, God forbid that it would have to happen next, you know, whenever, right? Again, without having seen the five-year forecast, without having that, you know, once we, 15 months from now, we're going to have a much better idea when we have, you know, 2 quarters worth of actual sales tax data from Walmart. And so I think I'll feel a little bit more comfortable then, but I do appreciate the time and effort that you guys put into this to bring this to us, and thank you. Yeah.
One of the things to recognize as part of this is that the five-year forecast is predicated upon having processing about 500 homes over the next 5 years. And before that occurs, you're looking at subdivisions. And before that occurs, you're looking at people coming to the front counter and having questions. I know that staff forwarded me correspondence with a large land developer and home builder today. And, you know, that took time to respond to it, even though it was a shorter response. Being able to respond to what is my zoning, what density can I build here and everything is part and parcel to realizing that five-year forecast after we put in the revised numbers. We actually added 200 homes over the course of the five-year projection. I think we're at 299, and we're up at about 500 now. So, again, it's processing things on the front end so that we can realize that that improved general fund forecast in the long term.
Okay. Could I just ask one more
sure.
question based on what you just said? The number of homes that, like, each of the lots they have now, like the place right behind Sinclair Heights, the place up by the foothills?
Those are part of that, yes.
So the 299 comes from, is that from those two areas?
I'm going to, so, oh, yeah,
Paul, please. Thank you for letting me ask
yeah,
the
yeah.
question.
Well, I was going to say something about something else.
Oh, he's asking more specifically where the homes are coming from. So the 299 that was originally part of that, did that include the applications like Eaglemont, Bear Mountain Estates?
Bear Mountain and Eaglemont, yeah.
Right now we have somewhere around 300 or more somewhere in the process.
Okay, thank you.
And that count does include most of those. We were looking with pretty much known projects that are, you know, fairly certain of coming on that we are aware of from discussions we've had already. One is about 60, 70 lots, another is maybe 25. there's some further expansion in the north central area.
Yes.
It could be another 100 lots potentially.
Okay.
Various properties, so we know it's coming. And the other thought I was going to contribute was the news, I believe it was yesterday, the day before, about Boeing building their plant for the wing, the 777X wing
at Everett.
In Everett, which is going to directly affect, I think, the demand for housing in Monroe. We're only half an hour away. We're probably more affordable. And I think between that and 522, it's going to have a even larger impact than we originally thought, with Boeing hiring I don't know how many thousands of new employees in the next several years. So that puts a little bit of a different hint on things in terms of, I think it's going to be more than we're predicting. But we can reliably, pretty solidly call for kind of growth that we've documented 500 lots.
Thank you, Paul. Gene, you had something?
Thanks, Mayor. And I know that the Mayor just spoke of this, but I just want to reiterate that we really pored over this and looked at the pros and the cons, and we came up and realized that people are coming here because of the customer service. I know we keep talking about that, but when you look at the five-year forecast, we realize that we're not even going to get to those revenues if we can't get the permits in and out the door. And so it's that old adage that it takes money to make money, not to run the business of making money. But point is that we won't even realize those revenues if we can't get the permits issued. And that's where we're going to be, and we're kind of in that situation right now. So that's what helped us make our decision. That's why we're tonight saying this is the direction we'd like to go.
I have Councilmember Gamble and then Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Gamble.
All right, a couple things. so if I recall correctly, I recall the approval of the dollars for the IPZ when Jeff, you know, here made the case. And we all, you know, collectively agreed. We actually had a higher dollar amount because we were the major you know, city.
Exactly.
In that group. So, you know, the way I look at it, well, yeah, we didn't get approved, but there's no reason why we can't make a run at it again. But no, that's not going to be expended this year because it didn't go through. So really, from that standpoint is, okay, we earmarked that monies for economic development. So I think it's a logical link. It's just whether or not we want to do that. You know, where do you want to spend those dollars for economic development? And if, you know, I would be interested to learning more about the Economic Alliance and the Aerospace IPZ. You know, maybe it's a logical fit, but that is, from a strategic perspective, something that we all agreed to is, you know, hey, we want to take money and invest from an economic development perspective in an IPZ. Now, we didn't get what we wanted. It didn't get approved. We can make a run at it again next year, but we do have a budgeted dollar amount of $25,000 that we probably should take.
Will yield? I have a question about that, if you don't mind. So, is there a cost required to joining this other IPZ?
We're already in it.
So there's no cost associated with it?
We would have to redo the application, and whether or not a new consultant would be brought on board, I don't know. Are you talking about the aerospace one?
I'm talking about the aerospace one.
That's already existing, is my
understanding. So there's no additional cost, no anything.
Correct.
So this I apologize, but this $25,000 wouldn't be applied to that at all, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
All right.
Unless there was additional works that we found out
that you haven't found out.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
That's what I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
It's okay. I would be interested to learn more about that. I mean, is there someone that even could come and give us an idea of what's going on?
I could have. I met with somebody from the Economic Alliance here about a week and a half ago, and I'm sure they'd be happy to come in and talk about what the Economic Alliance does and then what the aerospace IPZ is. So we'll put that on the extended agenda for sometime mid-March. We'll see when they're available.
Perfect. That would be great.
Yeah. You still got the floor?
So the other component of this, when we look, you know, directly at the planning role, so the one piece I wanted to look at as far as, I guess I don't have the concern, Kurt, that you do as far as the, because this is a budgeted position. This is not an unfunded position like we've dealt with in the past, where we were looking for, you know, hey, it's an unfunded position, where do we get the money? This is already, you know, a budgeted item that we've been carrying. The bigger question I have is that, you know, this is a budgeted position for a director role, and, you know, from a staff perspective, and, you know, what do we lose long term without the director, you know, role? Because basically we're making the decision that, you know, we prefer this, but that has a long term, you know, impact on the org structure, you know, per se. Because if you now, you know what, we really need a director of planning, well, then we're going to have to go through that process again. So I guess I'd just be interested in, you know, that you guys obviously had that, you know, discussion, and I get that right now is right now, but long, you know, we've obviously thought about it long term, and we feel good about not having that director role anymore.
We still want to support the director role. It is critical. We've had the discussion that gets filled in the future. However, we also realize that we need to have boots on the ground as it is to get the applications out the door. And so that was a greater priority. But the director role is still a need that's out there. Mayor feels that way. Staff feels that way. And it's not going away. We just can't afford it at this point in time.
And if I can elaborate, the difference in a community development director is a position that takes a strategic view on how to apply resources for processing permits, for doing inspections, for doing the comp plan. It's a position that ties everything together while at the same time having that external focus in where they're, you know, meeting with developers when they come to town. They're going to the Economic Alliance. They're doing a lot of things that, you know, they may end up spending 10 to 15% of their time outside of the office, building those connections and things like that. But I completely agree with staff in that right now our highest need, given our general fund reality, is to make certain that we can process those permits. It's the proverbial boots on the ground, and yeah, I agree with that. So. But it is something that I do want to watch the general fund and consider that for future discussion. So,
no, I guess I just when we make the statement that we don't have the money to do it, we do. I guess, is the way I look at it.
We have the appropriation.
Correct.
Right.
So that's why I'm, you know, just want to make sure that it's not just short-term. Okay. Cool.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. And I guess that answered most of my question in regards to the planning director position. But Gene, you mentioned that it's still a need. I mean, but how much of a need is it? Is it immediate? Is it 2 years out? I mean, what are we looking at to fill that position?
It's hard to project that, but definitely in the next couple of years, we'd like to see that get filled. You know, we're doing the comp plan update right now. There's a real focus in the downtown area, and we need somebody that's got the leadership qualities to be able to make those things a reality. In a director role, we'll do that.
Okay. And if we don't fill that position in 2014, those funds slated for that position will essentially roll over to 2015, or? Okay.
At the end of the year, there'll be unexpended funds, and it'll go back into the general fund, and then when we talk about the 2015 budget, council at that time will decide what they want to approve and what they won't.
Okay.
Right. I'm sorry. Will you yield for a comment just on that one?
Sure.
Please. You know, that's the, you know, the structural deficit stuff we've talked, and that's the only thing when we're talking about filling this, that unexpended amount is, I mean, we're going to have to be growing, you know, off the difference that we would be taking out for an associate planner. So.
Yeah, the bow wave. So if you talk about the future spending, that the bow wave that is occurring as a result of an associate will save us about $40,000 a year, as opposed to bringing a community development director. Plus, that position will be more appropriate for answering questions at the counter. Remember, you've got a senior planner. You've got a senior planner and a planning manager right now, and they have a higher experience level with processing higher level permits. And so, bringing in that lower level associate allows you to take care of the smaller things. But again, the bow wave going forward is a savings of about $40,000 a year, I think, is what I saw. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. Any other questions?
I think Councilmember Rasmussen.
Oh, I'm sorry, no. Councilmember Rasmussen, you're up.
No.
Still. Sorry.
Good. Thank you.
Did you have anything else? I didn't mean to.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. So, Council, if I don't hear any objections, then staff will this week get a notice out and begin the process to hire either an assistant or associate level planner.
I have a question. You said assistant or associate?
Correct.
So
yep.
What's the difference between assistant?
Assistant's actually a lower level planner. We'll say up to an associate level planner. And I'm pretty certain that what staff would like to hire is an associate level planner. So.
I think you've answered my question. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And then we will. So would council at this time be willing to entertain us moving forward with an RFP for an on-call contract for planning services? Or would you like that brought back? Councilmember Gehring.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, Councilmember Hanford, I didn't see that you had your light already.
Okay. Yeah, please, that's fine.
I'm going to take you.
Thank you.
I only do that if it's urgent. So, I'm good with all this.
Okay.
The two things, and if I could hit rewind on my DVR, I could back you up to what you said, something about this year, this position is for this year, through the end of this year, and then what was the plan for this position next year?
Oh, the position would continue as an associate planner. So this would, what you're referring to is a project position where you just hire for a year or two. It's got a sunset clause. This would be an ongoing position subject to, you know, budget, of course. And what I was saying is that it causes a bow wave of saving about $40,000 per year versus bringing on.
No, I got that.
Director. Okay.
Sorry, I got that part, but the future part of this position. So this is, we're bringing someone, adding someone to staff with, and they're coming in with the understanding that as long as council approves the budget every year, they're going to have a position with the city?
Just like everybody else.
Just like everyone else?
Yes.
Okay. That was my question. So we're not just saying, okay, 1 year's worth and then we'll see.
Correct.
So we're wanting to make this more of a permanent.
Right. And, of course, subject to personnel rules, you've got things about 6 months and all this other stuff, maybe three sure. here. But, yes.
Second question. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Second question was, if we are pulling from the Parks and Rec, from hiring for the Parks and Rec, what are the thoughts? Are we thinking we're fine without the one? I understand that we're budgeted to hire one, and in an ideal world, we would hire that person, and it'd be great. I understand that we're saying right now the planner is more important than hiring a parks person. I understand that, but from trying to look at it from Mike's point of view, you know, are we going to be fine leaving that position unfunded for the rest of this year, do we think? Or is this something that we need to try and find a fund somewhere else because we're possibly desperate for that position because of what we're expecting this summer?
The discussions with Mike have been the position won't be filled this year. We've added monies in for an extra season or two, which will help pick up some of those labor hours that we need to pick up. But you remember a couple of years ago when we had the budget problems, we reduced our service levels in mm-hmm. the parks, and so those service levels will continue to be lower than we have in the past, and they will be lower until we hire a full-time position. But that being said, we are prepared not to fill the parks position this year.
Okay. Yield for a comment? You know, I'm not viewing it. They're both funded. So us, you filling the associate planner position doesn't mean we can't fill the parks department. But I mean, the way I was reading that is you're just throwing that in as additional information on, you know, dollars that are above that are not to... As of right now, you're not planning to expend for the fiscal year. Is that correct? Because it's not a, you know, we are going to fill this position, so we're not going to fill the parks one. It's, you know, we want to fill this with an associate level as opposed to a director, and here's the additional information you should know, which is you got another $25,000 not to be expended to make us feel a little bit better, right? Is that where I'm... Because I don't see the two linked, I guess is what I'm saying. Are you providing us just with additional information?
Correct. We were providing council information. We want to make sure that you guys are part of the decision-making process, because technically you're right. Council approved these positions in the budget. We could have went out and filled them, but we don't want to play like that. We want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that you guys have the information, so we're making these decisions together to move forward. So to hopefully answer your question, Mr. Hanford, is that we will not fill the parks position this year. We could, but we've elected not to.
But it doesn't have, I just wanted to make clear that it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that we're hiring an associate planner. They're mutually exclusive.
Correct.
Correct. What it is it's demonstrating finding offsets when we don't need to.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you clearing that up, and I do appreciate the honesty and the upfrontness. I guess I would say if that is the case, and so the funds are there to hire the full-time employee for Parks and Rec, and we're just holding off to be more fiscally conservative, that would be something I think we should really contemplate. Maybe think about more seriously before we just write it off for the rest of the year, especially as the next item on the agenda is the Monroe Music Fest, and there will be lots of other things coming for the summer. I'd love to see our level of service on the parks go back up to where it was as well. So,
Councilmember Gamble appropriately pointed out that there's sort of a blending of two different issues here with these bullets, and certainly these savings rather than unexpended funds.
The savings that are identified here in the bullets certainly should be part of a conversation for the five-year forecast. So what we'll do is have that presentation on March 4th where we go through the five-year forecast. When we start talking about how we're going to, you know, balance this year with the additional $300,000, you know, that we're looking at for Walmart and the $200,000 for the Housing Hope project, part of that balancing would be looking at these sorts of bullets right here. I would expect to be bringing these back probably mid-March after that March 4th presentation to talk through what it is we'd like to under-expend or save for this year to help take care of those other issues that have arisen.
Super. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. That was just going to respond to your comment with regard to RFP. I think that's great. I would also, I think it would also be great if we could at least find out what other cities might be able to, if we were to do an interlocal and we were really in a pinch, mm-hmm. say, hey, can we get City of X to do X for us, right? So I think both, let's explore all our options. If we need to do, you know, who knows? I mean, if we got a ton of stuff and we really need something, hey, if we could ship this off to this person and we got interlocal and it works well for us and it fits in the budget, then let's look at that too. Obviously, private sector folks, it's going to be just, I would think that would be a little bit more money. Obviously, we need to do RFP. I'd say let's look at both, and then maybe we can even use both, depending on the results of the RFP and the results of what we find. You know, if others would agree, I think both options and possibly using both would be great. So.
Okay, so we're probably looking at mid-March before being able to do an analysis of RFP versus ILA, the interlocal agreement.
I'll just bird dog both and get them both going.
Okay, sounds good. So when we come back at our next regular meeting, March 4th or March 11th, to give staff the necessary time, we will report back on the RFP versus the ILA. Rather than going out and doing an RFP now. So that's what I'm hearing is that we'd like more discussion on the RFP versus ILA versus starting an RFP process sooner. Is that?
I was saying start on the RFP too. Starting an RFP doesn't mean we're committed to doing it, right? I mean, we're putting it out there. And if we don't like what we get back, we don't have to do anything. Isn't that right?
Okay. Gene?
True, and I can run them simultaneously. That's a piece of cake.
Yeah, just so I'm thinking efficiently. Let's go both tracks at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yep. Not slow. Yeah, okay. That's what I'm suggesting. So sorry if
not
I wasn't clear.
Okay, yeah. Not that we necessarily start it tomorrow, but I'm hearing then that it's okay. You all are okay if we move forward with it as early as tomorrow.
Certainly.
Okay, and then we'll come back and give a report. Thank you.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on this topic? Council members, thank you very much for your time on this, and we will move on to the next item. The next item that we have on the agenda is new business number 3, AB 14032, Monroe Music Fest discussion, and I think Gene's got this one. Gene?
Thank you, Mayor. Again, in the spirit of cooperation and bringing council into the loop and making joint decisions here, council remembers last year we did the Monroe Music Fest. It was our first year, and in our minds it was a success. We had great turnout. The festival was spot on. The entertainment was excellent. The feedback was all positive. The funny part about the Monroe Music Fest actually had better build and support after the event than before, in that everybody was talking about it, and they really missed a great opportunity to see local performers and performers from LA and New York City. So anyway, point being is that we want to bring it back to council and see where you guys are at. We know that we've got some concerns over the five-year forecast. We know that this concert is not free, but on the good side of things, we already paid for the website last year, so some of the funds expended were for that. Keith Brock, the one that put it on last year, has already updated the website, so if you haven't seen it in the last couple of days, if you go to monroemusicfest.org or .com, pictures are all uploaded, probably 100 pictures from last year's concert. The newspaper articles that were written are all linked on there. So at any rate, they're kind of poised to move forward. We're not sure what the process would be. Should we decide to budget this year? But the cost, we've kind of estimated at $65,000, and the reason we use that number is we added up what the city's contribution was and all the in-kind dollars. That's why it came to 65 as a whole. But what we do know is that the actual expenditures after everything's paid for could be less than that. But we did want to add everything up, and that's been listed here of what the costs were for last year's concert. But we wanted to be up front with council and let you know what would be need to be budgeted and what was it actually expended last year.
Okay, and before we go to council members, Gehring and then Hanford, in terms of timing, Gene, can you talk a little bit more about time frame if council decides that they want to move forward with this for roughly September of 2014, by what date would a decision need to be made to issue an RFP, which is what the staff briefing says?
Mm-hmm. I would say no later than, 30 days at a max, because we need to be out front marketing this to have it be a success. So if we're going to do an RFP, I'd like to know in the next couple of weeks for sure, middle of March at the latest, of what direction we want to go, so that we can get the RFP out, receive proposals, and move forward with the advertising.
Okay, so that would be by March 18th, that would be 4 weeks out.
Bless
you. All right, we have Councilmember Gehring, and then we have Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. Gene, RFP, I don't remember RFP from last year. Felt like it was a little bit more on the fly as far as an opportunity was presented to us. We jumped on the opportunity. I guess, why would that be any different this year than last year?
Correct. This was a proposal that was brought to us by Keith Brock, and we went with it. We didn't have any other proposals, but because this looks like it potentially may be an ongoing event, we felt it would be the right thing to do to go through the RFP process. The chances of anybody else bringing All-Star Entertainment maybe slim to none, but it's still the right thing to do, we felt in our mind. It's not that laborious to do so. We would get the proposals in. I do know that, Keith has his eyes set on this. In fact, he just got back from Vegas today. He was there meeting with and actually performed with the keyboardist from Cheap Trick, and he's interested in coming out this year should we have a concert. So, again, he's got the links to the All-Star players, where a lot of people potentially may not have those links. So,
I'd use the term right thing to do. I guess I want to understand that versus we did it versus we didn't do it. There's not a legal issue there. So at least in my understanding, there's not. I guess I wanted to understand what you meant by the right thing. So just showing that we did due diligence since we're a public entity. I guess I'm trying to figure out what is doing the right thing to do.
Because we are a public entity, it's a little bit of a gray area. It's not an actual, we're not hiring a services essentially, where we are required to go out and get, five bids or whatever the law provides for. But it's close enough in that we feel that that's the right way to go. There's no actual criteria that we found that specifically targets concerts. There just isn't. However, it's close enough match to hiring a service that we felt it's probably the right way to go.
Okay. But I'm just going to be honest. This sounds a little weird because it's a concert. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the information. It's a community event. It's a known quantity. We know who these guys, we know the level of professionalism. I mean, it was great. It was a great I guess if it was like a public works contract or something, obviously, we need to go out to bid or streets, those kinds of, this is a, we want to have a concert in the park. But anyway, that's great. I'm just saying that there's something about that just seems like an extra red tape to go through or something.
And
like
we can ask MSRC and MRSC and ask them what the applicability is.
Okay. And if there's, and I appreciate that. I'm not trying to be difficult. I just,
Understood.
It was a great thing. Let's, boom, let's do it again. We know it worked well. We know there's a known quantity for us. Let's do it. But again, maybe there'll be something even more amazing that comes if we do the RFP. So, yeah, I could see you over there going, I got an idea. So, all good.
It may have a major sponsor in their pocket.
It just seemed a little weird. So the number, last year we had a lot of debate. Councilmember Williams brought it up as well. And We ended up at 40. I thought 50 was a great number last year, but 40 was it wasn't a known quantity. Lots of debate about the number, and you guys came in under, and it was amazing at that number. But as it shows here, there was actually some revenues that exceeded 65. I don't know, I'm just still really comfortable with the number of 50. Would there be an issue with budgetary authority up to an amount? And if it was really going to exceed, a number like that, come back and council can bump it up type of a thing. I know I personally would be a little bit more comfortable that way. Or are you essentially saying we want up to 65 and we may come in here? But is it so? Because last year there was the authority up to 40. I think it looks as though I couldn't, a minimum budget of 65 in the last line of the third paragraph. Are you essentially asking for the budgetary authority all the way to 65? Might not spend it all, but that's our ceiling versus the 40 that we had last year.
Correct.
Okay.
And remember last year we initially came in and asked for 50.
I was on board with
that. We came in at 40 and we expended just over that. In my opinion, we won't get anywhere close to 65, but let's say it takes a while for the contributions to roll in, and we have to pay those bills, right? And so, at any rate, that's why the 65 number came to be.
Okay. Okay. All right. Cool. I'm a little more comfortable with 50, and just my personal opinion, stating here, I know others may feel differently. And then if we need to bump it up from there, great. I think, was there enough, I was just trying to remember if there was enough covering over the sound equipment. I remember some sort of an issue like that from last time where there were just, it may be some extra money that needed to be spent to, I remember some of the equipment, there was an issue because there was the rain and the, are things like that involved with this as well, or are we not at a line item, type thing like that? This is just umbrella and we'll come in under.
Correct. That was a different project that's expanding the existing building. We did talk about that. That's a separate project from this. These dollars are just for basically what you saw last year. But again, we think that there'll be some savings because we don't have to build the website. We will have to pay for some advertising. There was a $2,000 charge, I believe it was, from the rental company to ground the equipment, and we could have done that with our staff had they let us know in advance, and they hit us afterwards with a $2,000 bill. Those are things we learned, and they won't happen again. So I think you're going to see some savings, but again, we wanted to throw enough money in front of here so we're adequately covering the costs.
And I apologize if I crossed up two things. I had thought that there was a we needed a little bit extra covering for some of the band equipment last year, but maybe that was something else. So. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford and then Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. This looks great. I'm excited for it. Can you remind me, you just touched on it, Gene, there, about what we're going to build at Lake Tai for outdoor concerts and events? What we're going to build and how that will be used by things like this?
One of the things that we've looked at, and monies were actually allocated this year to work on it. I'm not sure that we'll have the time and the staff to move forward on it this year, but you're correct. We looked at expanding the existing roof of the concession stand, extending it out, putting two wings on it that basically match the outdoor picnic shelter, that open beam look, and then expanding the concrete concourse out front so you'd have a little larger stage and some concrete sitting area, and then it would address the drainage issue in the field. And I want to say that there's $170,000 in the budget for that project. It would also it also included reorienting the concession stand. Currently it faces the west, the ball field, that is only used periodically, and the concept was to face it towards the north where the new Wake Park is going and the playground equipment, so that when they open up, they can open up on a daily basis when mothers and fathers are out there with their kids all day on the merry-go-round and all the other features we have there. So that was part of that project.
Okay. So there's not for sure that that's going to get done this year.
Correct. we've got some other projects in the works as well.
Anything else, Councilor?
Yeah, I kind of just going along with Councilmember Green's comments. Jumping up to 65 in 1 year just seems like a lot. So I'd be more comfortable with 50 to start with. Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have Councilmember Camp, and then Councilmember Rasmussen and Gamble. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. My first question is, do we have a list of lessons learned from last year? The main issue I heard was rain. Somehow people did not assume that it would rain in Seattle. And I was shocked at how shocked people were at the result. Everything I heard was nothing but positive comments about it, with the exception that it would have been nicer if the crowd had been bigger. So that is my first question, and I'll let you look at that. Councilmembers Gehring and Hanford, $65,000 is a little steep, but I'm more comfortable with having an initial allowance and then coming back to council as we progress, whether or not we want to increase it. Last year, it was a gamble. No offense to the council member.
None taken, I like
it. Got it. But it's the type of thing that I think the city should try and see whether we can get a success, increase opportunities for people to, for the community to get involved. And in that regard, it was good. I saw a lot of positive benefit from it. I'd like to try it again. I'd like to try it with those limitations, just to make sure that we're wisely looking at the money. Date placement, why did we go with September last year? Anybody remember?
When we looked at the calendar of all the other events.
It never rains in September.
Yeah.
It never. Where's my almanac?
September's
better.
September is.
It was
a
nice
September
last
year. Yeah.
Except for one day. I'm sorry. Go
but,
ahead.
But that was it. We looked at our calendar of events, and then we did bring in the weather. And we all always know that it rains during the fair, and then after the fair is over, we got nice weather. And okay. So that was a contributing factor.
Okay.
And musicians' availability.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I thought it was something like that. I just want to make sure. I'm not going to get into the date placement. I think the parks and the city staff have a much better idea on that than anything I would come up with, short of a dartboard and a guess. So I think we've covered all those points. And I think I've covered all my points. Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen and then Gamble. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Gene, that was Music Fest a partnership with the chamber or another organization, or was it strictly City of Monroe?
Last year it was City of Monroe, but we did partner with High Road Productions. They helped us. That's the Speedway folks. They helped us do some marketing and did a great job for us. And then the chamber also did marketing, and they got the license for alcohol. Is my understanding.
Okay. Thank you. And the reason why I was asking is I remember sitting actually on this side of the bench during that whole conversation, and it seemed like some of the comments were, 50,000 is too high, by and large, let's go 40, although it would be nice if we didn't have to take on the whole burden of the event, and, as it turns out, we now know it would have been really nice if we weren't taking on the full burden of that event. So I guess I'm just, is there a thought of pulling in High Road or the chamber and asking them to share in some of this burden as well? Whether we ultimately decide to go 40, 50, 65,000, I mean, I think it's fair that these other organizations, asking them, seeing what we can do to spread the this part of it as well. I mean, we're spreading the love, we might as well spread everything else too. So has there been any talk on that at all?
There has not at this point in time. but we could certainly have that discussion. And I honestly believe that the support as far as sponsorships go, I think that that's going to be a bigger reality this year.
Okay.
We learned from it last year, and I honestly believe that we can do some other things that we didn't do last year. And because it was a success, the performers are literally knocking at the door wanting to get back because they were just in awe, and they play all over the world.
Sure.
And they couldn't believe the venue and the fans that were out there supporting it. So, you know, there's a potential that those people can be talked to, and maybe they have sponsorships that could come in from, you know, their drum sponsors, or who knows, right? But that's something that we could definitely look at this time around.
Would it be helpful if I were to invite representatives from the chamber to come in and talk about how it worked last year since we did partner with the chamber?
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to hear from them. I'd love to hear from them as well, certainly. So,
I was going to ask if I could. Would it be possible to have Mr. Brock come back? Give us his perspective on it?
Yeah, I definitely can ask him when he's going to be up. He did call today to let us know, or let me know, to pass it on that the website was updated and that he was just driving home from Vegas where he was performing with many people, including Carrot Top. But point being is that he was playing with the keyboardist from Cheap Trick, and he wants to be here if the concert's going to happen. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So,
Councilmember Osmond, go ahead.
Yeah. I guess I just the reason why I'm bringing this up and finishing it off, I mean, the proof is in the numbers there. I mean, we spent $50,000 almost, and revenues were $13,807, if I'm reading that correctly. I think in remembering the conversations from last year, we'd hoped to break even, or the city had hoped to break even, if not make a little bit of money out of it, whatnot, but I think it was understood it probably wouldn't happen this year. I guess I'm just concerned of, you know, whether it is we put the $40,000, $50,000, $65,000 into it this year. Is there the plan in place to make sure that we earn more than the $13,000? We're going to get a better return off of our investment. But some of the comments I've heard already since this has come up, and I would just like to see something, you know, speaking to that. Aside from that, I mean, the comments that I heard shortly after the event were it was great, just echoing everything else here. The only negative I heard is that it went a little too late for many of the people that live right there by the lake. But I definitely think this is something to pursue and look at a little further, but...
So I'm understanding from you, basically a pro forma is what you would be interested in bringing back as part of a revisit on this in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So a pro forma for the 2014.
I'm sorry?
You're looking for a pro forma, just an estimate of revenues and expenditures for a budget. You're looking for a budget.
I want to see a plan. I mean, of... This is what we anticipate spending. I realize we've estimated $65,000 based off last year, but you know I don't want to be in the same boat that we are this year, saying you know we'll give you 40, we spend 50, and we're going to make 13. So,
okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah. So my comments are kind of in line with Councilmember Rasmussen's. We had the discussions last year. I mean, I think we all knew that, okay, yeah, we were taking on a little bit of a risk. And I remember challenging Jeff, you know, as far as on the sponsorship side. It is hard when it's an inaugural event, you know, and branding and, you know, and all that type of stuff. So I get that. I think the piece is that we could truly measure the success of last event, you know, with everything that we've gotten the feedback on. You know, a lot of times when you go into the planning of this type of stuff, you know, you could take the 4th of July celebration in the city of Seattle, right? These aren't ventures that are gone alone by the public entities. And if you don't hit a certain sponsorship amount by a certain date on the calendar, they're in jeopardy of not being, you know, put on. I guess, you know, I'm, you know, I do look at the, you know, and those that really know me, I'm as a music major, and this is my passion, and so I would love to, you know, I I love it, and I think, you know, we should be a partner in this, and I want to see it come back. But I do think we need, I mean, this is coming right out of the general fund. Mm-hmm. This is not budgeted. So, you know, in my opinion, you know, whether it's a, I've got several things, you know, written down, you know, whether it's a month blitz over the next month where we go on a sponsorship, you know, commitment goal, you know, and we advertise the heck out of that, you know, that, hey, you know, we want to look to bring it back. You know, we look to our partners within the local papers that we're looking for a title sponsor and a presenting sponsor to, you know, to partner with the city. And we really have a sponsorship goal. Last year we didn't even have a sponsorship goal. We just said, hey, we're going to give it a go and, you know, kind of see what happens. And but we all kind of, you know, we felt good about it. But now we're in the second year. We kind of know where the expenses are going to lay out. We should kind of have an idea of, you know what, if we can get, you know, $10,000, $15,000, you know, whatever from sponsors. I mean, and I need to stop thinking, you know, I've partaken in these in the Redmonds and the, you know, in other areas, and, you know, purchasing a title sponsorship for $20,000 is, you know, from a major partner within the city is not out of, you know, not out of bounds, and 5 and 10 is not out of bounds. So I don't think it's something that's completely, you know, out there. But at least, you know, from a plan perspective, getting locked up the in-kind donations that we got last year, getting that commitment level so that we know going in that we're going to have that, because those are expenses that, you know, we're kind of, you know, we're looking, and they're great donations, they're great sponsorships. But if we take them for granted and not recognize those contributions, the next time we're paying it out of pocket, and you know, now that's hitting us, you know, on the bottom line. So, you know, for me, you know, I want to do it again. I think it's, you know, it's great, but I really want to see, you know, a commitment beyond just, you know, the city going it alone, because it does have cultural value. You know, for the area, it does bring in, you know, business, awareness, you know, the city. And if all the stuff we're seeing is true and the feedback and the success, we shouldn't have a problem getting some people lined up, especially right now. I used to write those dollars. They're making those checks for the whole year and allotting their sponsorships, you know, whether it's our new partner, you know, up the street, or, you know, whoever it, you know, might be. I don't know. That just would be my druthers, is to have, you know, we talk about that plan, you know, the sponsorship piece. To me, I really want to see that honed in more and really kind of have a key partner to go with it, with us. My two cents.
Thank you, Councilmember Gamble. Mr. Brazel, and then Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mayor. I was thinking about going last, but I think my point is still good, that I understand where council's at. Everybody liked the concert. They'd like to see more detail. They want us to look at the bidding requirements. And just a bit of a sidebar, Attorney Lell's not sure it even applies, so we might just be able to pick this person. So we'll research that a bit more. We'll come up with the dollars and cents. And remember, the $65,000 that's in the cover sheet was what we expended, plus all the contributions from outside sponsors. So the 65 is a big number, but the reality of what the city's probably going to expend is real close to what we did last year, or a bit less, in my opinion, because we know what our mistakes were, we know where we can save money, those types of things. So at any rate, I appreciate the feedback from council. At least we have consensus, in my opinion, that council wants to move forward. We just need to pin some details down. And
yeah, and I guess, I'm sorry, I know it's you know, from my perspective, I'm kind of in line with Councilman Rasmussen from the stand, and I believe I may be prepared, but I don't want to see it as a $36,000 hit every year. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, that it should be more of a community partnership and, you know, a wash type of deal. So I guess that's where I'm, you know, looking, Gene, is that I don't want to see, because that's not what our intention was last year. We realized that, you know, hey, that's why we budgeted for 40 first time, but then going forward, I mean, it should be moving the other way.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah. Just one other question, Gene. In regards to the Music Fest, I mean, it brought a lot of people in. Was there any sort of tracking done as far as how much money outside of Music Fest this event brought in? Hotels, restaurants, you know, that extra spending that essentially brought in tax revenue?
We don't have detailed numbers on hotels, but what we do know that the people that participated that came in from out of state did stay in the hotels. So there's 6 or 8 of those that were booked for 2 nights. And then there were the people that sold both food and alcohol at the event did well. And Mike has those numbers as well, how many beers were sold, how many glasses of wine, and what the food vendors did. But there's no data on the surrounding community, you know, Subway down the street, how many, you know, sandwiches they sold, although they did participate in that they were the ones that provided the food for everybody that was working the event.
Okay.
So
I guess the reason why I ask is, you know, with these big events, whether it be Music Fest or whether wakeboarding or so forth, you know, one of the selling points that everyone always brings in is that we say it brings people into Monroe, people spend money. You know, this is the same thing, and I'm just curious with, you know, how much money did people spend in Monroe that were here for that event? I mean, not just at Music Fest, but, you know, they went to dinner somewhere. They probably went to dinner somewhere. Some of them stayed at hotels. Some of them bought gas. I mean, if there's a way that we could, a formula or something, look at tax revenue income, I mean, just get an idea. Yes.
Comment. I mean, and I guess the piece of that is, and that's why I really would like to have a partner in this, is because when I was being solicited for sponsorship, that information was presented to me as a potential sponsor of what the demographics were, what the increased amount of money was coming in, and usually it was the promoter or whatever that, you know, would provide that information. But that helps me. That's investing. You know, that, hey, whether I want to spend money on a sponsorship, that we have that. The information that Councilman Rasmussen is talking about, so that I can, you know, I kind of have idea, well, is this fitting it with my strategic plan and the demographics that I'm trying to hit with my particular business?
I can just comment on that. That's why you have a promoter, is to do those things. The city shouldn't be trying to sell sponsorships necessarily.
Right? That's right. Yeah.
That's why you have High Road. Mm-hmm. That's why you have Doug, and those guys do that, because that's what they do. You know, they do it well. So.
Thank you.
Agreed. Okay. Councilmember Camp had his light on.
I did. I was curious if the LTAC would have given any indication of.
You know, Mike might have had these discussions, and I apologize. I wasn't part of those, okay. But we can bring all that stuff back.
Great.
Thank you.
So we'll bring these back not later than March 18th. We'll try to key it up for roughly March 11th. And. Just so that I'm clear, is there a preference to this coming from the city contingency fund, which is where it came from last year, or from the general fund? This is something that we can decide upon when it comes back, but that's something to think about. It'll come from one of two sources, unless there's another fund I'm unaware of, but it'll either have to be from the general fund or the council contingency fund. So,
can we?
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Can we get a discussion from Diane as to whether or not which would impact the city more, contingency versus general, if there is any impact?
Yep, absolutely. So we'll make certain that Diane is prepared to answer questions about the city contingency versus the general fund. Okay, seeing no other lights, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item. The next item in under new business is item number 4. This is AB 14033. This is approval of updated real estate broker contract. And Mr. Brazel, I think you have this one too.
Getting hoarse. This is a piece of property the city has owned for years. It's known as the Wells site off of Ingram Road. It's 12 and a half acres. We've discussed this in the past that potentially a developer may be interested in this parcel. There are still wells on that site that the city used back in the 70s, I want to say, or 60s, that we elected not to use any longer because of the mineral count. And that's at that point we hooked up to the city of Everett, and that's where all of our water comes from today. Back in around 86, I want to say, the city had a discussion of whether or not to surplus this property, and they moved forward on that. The council made the decision, and the property was surplus to the best of our knowledge. We have had a developer come in the last week or two expressing interest in this parcel and is waiting to put in an offer. He is also working on surrounding properties to hopefully package it as a big development that would be kind of connected with the farm if he can get all the other property owners on board. But for tonight, we're asking that council consider adding this to Jane's contract. One of the things that I was talking to Attorney Lell about is under item number 3, terms of sale, number C, it talks about the developer compliance with the North Kelsey Area Development Plan and the North Kelsey Area Development Plan Supplemental Development Agreement, blah, blah, blah. That is not applicable for this site, so we talked about adding language in there when applicable. So other than that, I'm open for questions.
Okay, we have Councilmember Hanford first and then Councilmember Gearing. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. For the action, requested action, is there a motion needed or just a consensus?
Please.
So I'll move to authorize the mayor to sign the exclusive sales agreement, sale of land with Newmark Grubb Knight Frank.
Okay. And before that gets seconded, would that be as recommended for amendment by our attorney?
As stated, correct.
Okay.
I'll second that then.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Gearing. Anything else, Councilmember Hanford? Okay, I have Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you, Mayor. I believe some of this area is surrounding it. I thought some was annexed, and I thought some was still in our urban growth area. So if we're talking about bundling other properties that may or may not be in the city of Monroe, I know this particular piece is, it's just a separate conversation, but I picked up on what you had said there. If they were going to bundle something like that, which would be great, I was thinking that this map is up to date and that I think the urban growth boundary goes all the way out to Ingram and then down south to Woods Creek. But this shows that this is not actually in the city. And so this would actually be an island. But I thought that maybe we had actually already annexed the area immediately to the west of it. But I couldn't remember.
Correct.
No, Brad's saying no. Okay. Maybe it was in our plan to annex it, but maybe we hadn't yet. Okay.
It's a little bit away.
Still, okay.
Do you want to map some back?
Yeah, I can see it from here. Yeah. The area just to the north of the farm and west of the property we're talking about. Yeah.
Piece,
right.
And then city limits end there. So
right.
And this is the farm.
And so immediately to the west of the green rectangle.
Yeah, that's still outside.
That's still outside. Okay.
Yeah, but it's in the urban growth area.
That's
so
right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. And so bundling. I guess what would he be? What would they be? What are they talking about bundling?
It really has nothing to do with the sale of our property. Our sale will be our sale, but he already has an adjacent property that does touch our piece under contract. It's in escrow right now, and he is in communication with the surrounding properties. He's touched base with pretty much everybody in the surrounding except for one property, and he's working on that currently.
Okay. I was just curious based on that, because I knew we had talked about scheduling at least. Some sort of discussions on annexations in these areas in our annexation plan. So. Okay, great. Yeah, again, I'm fully in support of doing it. And I guess another question might be, maybe we can review annexations sometime in the future. So at a separate time. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Brazel, do you have anything else?
Just that when we did meet with this developer, Brad and I did, we kind of shared the past vision of interconnecting trails, the roads that are stubbed out from the farm. We shared all that information. And I will be coming back to council at a later date with potentially a public hearing, because this is a utility property. All those types of things were done so long ago that we may want to do our due diligence and redo some of that stuff. So I've already had that discussion with Attorney Lell. So when it comes back, that's what we're up to.
Roger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other discussion from council? Okay. All those in favor of the motion, which includes the amendment that was mentioned earlier, removing the North Kelsey language from this contract, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda is new business number 5. This is AB 14034, approval of unfunding of the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Grant for purchase of right-of-way for shared pedestrian bicycle trail along Chain Lake Road. And I believe this is Mr. Feilberg.
We'd like for a grant based on the vastly overestimated value from the assessor's office of this property. As one of the requirements before the money can be obligated, appropriated, we have to do what's called a preliminary field estimate, I think is what it's called, the PFE. And the appraiser came back with the value of the property being about $540,000 rather than the $139,000 we thought it was going to be. We do not have the necessary funds to cover that, and the funding agency will not allow us to only buy a third or a quarter of the property that they're giving us. We have to buy the whole thing. So if we want to continue with this project, the city needs to come up with about $400,000 of their own money, instead of the $20,000 we were thinking about. If we send the money back now, we can actually apply again for a larger amount of money, which they're coming out soon for the grant applications. And since we've done the preliminary work now already, we should have a fairly good chance of getting that award. And this is money that comes from the air quality grants to limit the amount of vehicular traffic. That's why it's a trail project. So it's not competing with other projects for doing roads and things like that. So the recommendation is to authorize the mayor to sign the letter attached to graciously thanking them for the award and saying no thanks so.
Okay. Councilmember Camp and then Hanford. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I'd like to move to authorize the mayor to sign a letter to Puget Sound Regional Council unfunding the congestion mitigation air quality grant to purchase right-of-way for shared pedestrian bicycle trail along Chain Lake Road.
Second.
And I just would like to add, I would rather have used your statement for the motion, but this is what I have. Thank you.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Camp. I have a second from Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Hanford, you had your light on, perhaps for the motion. Okay. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item will be Councilmember Reports and Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I got the email from Amy Barber about the Million March Against Child Abuse. And on April 5th at Evergreen Speedway. And they're asking for cities and churches, supporters, organizations, businesses to across the nation to make a unilateral stand against crimes against children and for tougher sentencing. And so I would like, if we're all in agreement, I would like for our city, if that's something that you could put together a resolution?
Resolution.
A proclamation. In support of that.
Okay.
For, I think you should have the email, but.
Okay.
I would second putting that on the agenda.
Okay. So the date is April 5th. We will prepare a motion resolution for not later than March 11th, if that's okay. That'll be the second meeting in
Wonderful.
March.
Thank you.
If you could forward the email to Brazel Brazel with a copy to me, I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
And somebody on staff will put that together. Thank you. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Councilmember Kent.
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Davis.
I have nothing.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
The great American pastime is upon us.
Lacrosse?
No.
Chainsaw.
No, it says American pastime. No, just a reminder for any and all those that Little League season is kicking off. We're about to busy up all the parks in Monroe. And it's been great having the Miracle Field, as you know, especially this time of year, we always do the tryouts. And being able to have that field, it just for me, you know, cemented the point on some of the action or the as far as the support that we gave the school district on having their, you know, field that's turfed, you know, just the need that is there because there is so much demand from that perspective. So great to have that field. Will be even better when we have, you know, additional. But please get your registrations in. And if you know anybody that wants to sponsor a Little League team, let me know.
Thank you, Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember Gehring?
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Going to staff, Mr. Popelka, you're in the back. I guess I should start from the front one of these days. In fact, I'm going to do that today. Chief Windsor? Okay. Mr. Feilberg?
Nothing here either.
Ms. Popelka?
Nothing new. I guess other than that,
you just mentioned the meetings next week. You can get some more information on that and Gene will give the draft agenda. But our joint meeting Wednesday night and the next night is a public workshop that's going to focus on economic development issues for the city. But it'll be an interesting pair of meetings with some feedback from the January workshop and a lot of thought about going forward. March is Transportation Month and April is Parks Month. And May will be storefront studio month downtown for this conference. Lots of things coming up.
Thank you. Who's got the report on projects? The staff department reports projects update.
Yeah, actually, I've included it on the position.
Okay.
So it was in that packet.
Before we move on off of staff / department reports and go on to our administrator, listed under that subheading is number one, projects update. The projects update was included in the planning and personnel update, yeah. Planning and permitting personnel update under new business item number two. Does council have any questions about that?
We got that. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. All right, next item up is mayor and administrative reports. Moving now to our administrator, Brazel. Gene?
I have nothing to report, but I can do the draft agenda if you want.
Okay, why don't we go ahead and do the draft agenda?
Okay, draft agenda for February 25th, 2014 will be held at Park Place Middle School in the Commons, and we'll have signs out there directing people. This is the visioning workshop, and we'll be talking about economic development strategy.
And for that, will there be a packet or anything that council should watch for?
There will be a packet with some information and a couple of the PowerPoint slides from the workshop last month.
So those will be up on our city website as an agenda, just like we normally do.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. This would be, I'd just like to a couple things for the council agrees for the Finance and Human Resource Committee meeting, which I believe is on March 4th. We are getting a presentation on the 5-year forecast. I'd love to at least kick that around in the committee as well, having full, I think at least half that committee was actually not here last week during the presentation.
Two-thirds
of it wasn't here last week. And then some of the bullet points as well from action item number two. If we are, you know, again, and I need to have a better understanding of that report since I was sick last week, but you guys have listed there are five points here that from a finance standpoint, it'd be good to have, just a lot of council discussion with staff on that, advocating on, you know, on behalf of those things that you want to see done and a better understanding that from a committee standpoint. If there is, to Councilmember Hanford's point, if there's a way to find, you know, maybe we do want to do the Parks and Recreation position after all, I think it'd be good to at least run those through the committee if others agree that at least we can look at that. And then as we bring it back in the weeks and months ahead, we're better informed and can make a decision perhaps quicker. If others are in agreement with that, that'd be my preference to add that. At least if that might be for a long meeting, maybe we can't do them all, but at least keep them in the discussion so that when you bring them back, everybody's up to speed with it. So, okay. Whoever else?
Certainly.
The three of us, right?
Well, I don't think we have anything on the agenda right now. So
I think Ben's got one thing, but
Ben's got one thing.
Yeah. We're gonna make you chair again, right?
So we're on the February 25th agenda. Are you finished with that?
I am.
Okay. Anything else on the extended agenda? We've added a couple things this evening.
Nope, just to let council know that Liz has prepared the long-term agenda that's going to be going on the website from now on. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, so the public will be able to see what's coming down the pipe. That'll be on the website. And she's also got a page for the committees on the website now.
Great.
It'll be active. So.
Sweet.
Thanks to Liz.
Thanks, Liz. The version that's going to be on the website will be done in sort of a list format. Is that correct, Liz? And as opposed to a matrix format. And while the staff uses a matrix format, if you find that the list format is something you would prefer, then we can always just print that off the website, or we can continue using this here at the dais. So just let us know if you want to do a different printout. Okay. Anything else? Okay. As for me, last Thursday, I had a first lunch with the Chamber of Commerce. Had a really good time talking with them about different issues that they're seeing right now. One of the issues that we discussed was graffiti and tagging, and the Chamber of Commerce board expressed an interest in heading up a program to pull together volunteers to take care of areas where there is tagging. So that was a really good meeting that we had. I had some other meetings on Thursday as well, and that was probably the one that is of most interest perhaps for council. And then also last week, I attended a chamber meeting, a chamber luncheon on Tuesday, and the county executive happened to be there talking at that meeting. And I think that's all that I have for this week.
On your graffiti thing?
Yeah. Oh.
Should have hit that.
I'm going to, Councilmember Hanford's already done his light. Councilmember Hanford?
Oh, yes. Two things. Looking forward to the meeting Thursday night in Everett with Lovick.
The executive, John Lovick, yes.
Thank you. And then also, Gene, I'm looking for the March 4th I think it's right in the center of the page, ordinance amending business licenses, public nuisances, offending morals and decency, first reading. Is that our ordinance in response to the marijuana?
Yes.
Hearings that took place. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
Just a quick comment / question on the graffiti piece. Do we have contacts for the city to reach out to the public utilities or companies that, because a lot of graffiti happens on those boxes. And
railroad too.
Yeah, all of the above. And I know, and I'm just speaking, because we had, I was in Kirkland, I had an arrangement with the city where, you know, they would report it, X, Y, Z, and we had a turnaround response time on going out and taking care of our boxes, because there's quite a few in the city that I notice that are a part of, you know, whether it's Frontier or Comcast, or, I mean, you name your company, you know, your utility company, but they need to be painting those boxes with the appropriate, you know, paint that they have, and so that might be an area that we need to reach out on, whether it's the general manager for the area, for the respective companies, or whatever the case may be.
Do we have a list of contacts?
We do have the contact list, yes. Do we have an agreement? We don't, but they've been real responsive in the past, but we are circling around back on this, so I appreciate the comment.
Cool.
All right. That's all I had. We do have a couple executive sessions tonight. The first item that we have on executive session is for potential litigation. It's RCW 4230110, subsection 1, subsection little I, another subsection little I, and the estimated time for this is 15 minutes. And before we move into that, is it two executive sessions that we had?
I think it's two topics that will be falling under the same general exemption heading, so okay. Your preface is entirely appropriate.
Okay, so would it be appropriate is that pronouncement good for both e-sessions, or do we need to come out and then go back in?
It's okay. The same session.
All right, and aside from adjournment, do we expect to take action after?
I do not anticipate any council action except to adjourn the meeting.
Right, okay, so for the members of the audience, all one of you, we do not expect to make to take action except for adjournment at the end of this. And
item number one.
Oh, and do we formally need to take action to cancel the February 25th regular business meeting?
If you could, that'd be great to have that.
Yes.
So moved.
I have a first and a second from Councilmembers Gehring and Hanford to cancel the February 25th regular business meeting. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. As long as there's nobody in objection, we'll go ahead and move into executive session now for 15 minutes.
Austin did it and they wouldn't do it.
Was that a ready go? Okay, we're back in session. Councilmember Camp.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Hanford to adjourn. All those in favor, discussion? None. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. We are adjourned. Thank you.